Let me tell you a story, podcast number 150.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Call me Ishmael.
It was the age of wisdom.
Some years ago. It was the age of never mind.
It is a truth universally acknowledged.
You don't know about me without you.
Welcome to Let Me Tell You a Story with your hosts, Steve and Becky Lyles. Settle back into your seat. Step onto your favorite fitness machine or lace up your walking shoes and enjoy stories from a variety of genres and authors.
Hi, this is Steve.
Hi, this is Becky. Welcome to Let Me Tell You a Story. Our guest today is Bill Miller. I met Bill's wife, Wanda, last fall in a Bible study group. When she mentioned that she and her husband traveled regularly to Rwanda to serve the people there, all kinds of questions popped into my mind. I'm excited we can ask some of those questions today. But first, thank you, Bill, for taking the time to join us.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm going to jump right in here with a question. What got you interested in Rwanda? What was that spark or whatever was the initial thing?
So in 2013, I started attending an Anglican church in Boise. I had developed a hunger for liturgy and having communion each week and confession. That church has worked out well for us. Wanda and I both like being there. But the Anglican church got started about 20 years ago, around the year 2000. And part of that startup, bishops from Rwanda helped our church get started. They ordained the first bishop for this area and our first pastors. So our pastor often says that we are a missionary church plant from Rwanda.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Right. So the first day we attended a service at this church. When we walked in, on the entry table, there was a video showing about a trip to Rwanda. The team had just gotten back from, I think, the church's first trip there, and everybody was enthusiastic about it. There was a Rwandan tapestry on that entry table. There was colors of the Rwandan flag up front, and as we continued attending there, I had the feeling, gosh, to be a real Anglican, I need to go to Rwanda. So after a couple of years, we did.
Do you go with an organization or solo? How does that work?
So our first trip in 2016, Wanda and I went with our daughter to visit a friend. We stayed in the capital city. But we did want to make a trip out to where the church's sister church was, and the pastors there organized our trip and took care of us. And then after that, we have gone with trips with a team from our church. We have also gone, just me and Wanda, to Byumba is the name of the city where the bishop is for our sister church. We stay in the guest house that is attached to the church there, and they take good care of us. So it's been both, Steve.
Okay.
With a team from the church, but I want to be under the auspices of the church and under the protection of our church and promoting the work of the church in Rwanda.
When you get there, what kind of travel? Is it by bus, train, or all? How do you get around there?
So the plane lands in the capital city, Kigali. Byumba is about an hour and a half north. We have hired a driver there. Recently, the church in Byumba has sent a car to pick us up. So my last trip there, I was by myself. They picked me up at the airport. When we were done, they took me back. Otherwise, very few people have cars in Byumba. There are cars and trucks on the highway there, but most people walk. That's my mode of operation also, too. And I much prefer that. Living in a culture without a car is one of my dreams.
Oh.
What kind of distances do you walk?
Well, from the guest house to the school where I was working last time, it's a half-hour walk. school was called King Solomon Academy. And it's about that amount to get to the big market in the main part of Biyumba.
Well,
I can buy fruits and vegetables just across the street from the guest house. There's a bunch of shops there. And then I need at least half an hour of aerobic exercise a day. So occasionally I'll do some extra walks along some of the paths.
I envision dirt roads. Are there paved highways? What's it like?
Rwanda is a very beautiful country, a land of 1,000 hills. It's green. They get a lot of rainfall during the rainy seasons. And the towns and villages are built on top of the hills. So Biyumba runs along the top of a ridge. And the main road is paved going along the top of the ridge. There are some side roads that are dirt. People have many paths going down the hills to where the farms are. And some of the houses are on, say, a lower dirt road. I like walking along those paths and being amongst the trees, and the people will greet me. They're very respectful to foreigners, and many of them want to practice English. The children like to run out and say, "Good morning, how are you today?" And I'm supposed to say, "Fine, thank you."
Cool. I bet they're adorable kids.
Yes.
What do you do when you're in Rwanda?
So the last two trips were focused on teacher training for the teachers at King Solomon Academy. That's we would call it an elementary school. They call it primary. So grades 1 through 6, or as they say, primary 1 through 6, P1 through P6. Oh. there's about 30 teachers, about 400 students. They have about 40 students in each classroom. So we did my January trip, we did a week of teacher training, and then I spent 2 weeks at the school working with teachers and students.
You do ESL, or I'm not sure it's always called that. But
well, yes, part of my work there is English, helping them do English. Partly the teachers, they talk about my American accent. And how it's different than what they're used to, which might be termed British or the kind of English that's spoken in Uganda.
Oh.
So that was my emphasis on this last trip.
Just like us, it's hard sometimes to differentiate because of the accent. And do they struggle with that?
The differentiate?
Well, to understand, I guess.
Yes, yes, yes.
Understand American versus Ugandan English.
Yes, they say I am much harder to understand than someone from Uganda or Britain. So I gradually learned to know what they're saying. A professor at BSU pointed me to a TED talk about global English, with the idea being there the way Americans do English is not necessarily the right way to do it. And there is rather an international English that we should be aware of or used to acknowledging that fact.
Interesting.
The accent that is used in England, you probably think of it as an English accent or British accent, but they pronounce more vowels than we do, for instance. We do better on R's, according to this podcast, anyway. So... do we understand each other? So I take some effort to speak clearly and enunciate better and maybe more slowly when I want to be understood. the teachers have varying levels of skill with English themselves. The government has decreed that English will be the language used in the schools for instruction.
Wow.
So all the instruction at King Solomon Academy is done in English, and the teachers there all know English. That wasn't the case not very many years ago when they made this, because it was French before that was the language used in the schools. And then there was an abrupt switch to English, which, as you can imagine, was hard for the teachers.
Well, sure.
King Solomon sounds like it's a Christian
yes.
academy. Do the students have to pay to attend there?
Yes, it's a private school, so it costs more than the public school does. I'm not clear on how the funding works. They use textbooks from the government.
So all education, the parents have to pay for their children to go to school?
So the public schools also cost some money because the parents have to buy the uniforms for the children. Yeah. The notebooks that they write everything down in, the teaching there is done. The teacher has a textbook. The children do not have any textbooks. So the teacher copies from the textbook onto the blackboard, and the children copy that down in their notebooks.
Wow. Sounds kind of tedious.
Tedious for them? Well, that's one of the things I notice is how enthusiastic the children are in learning. There's a fair amount of repetition in the classroom. They're all enthused about that. The teacher asks a question, they're all waving their hands. Me teacher, me teacher, me teacher. They have a way of snapping their fingers, which isn't like I would do it, but they're shaking their whole hand, which snaps their hand too.
Oh, that's cool to hear. And I'm guessing the retention is maybe better than some of the ways I've been taught because of the repetition and,
yes.
and the enthusiasm.
And the writing it down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might remember something if I ever could remember to write it.
On your very first trip to Rwanda, what surprised you the most?
Well, I was surprised at the respect they showed us as Americans. It was very poignant as far as being in a foreign country and how green and lush it was and seeing the new birds and things relating to people. I find it a challenge to communicate. It's not that hard with English. My wife, Wanda, gets a little flustered. She doesn't find that a challenge. She finds it frustrating. But that part's been fun for me.
Do you understand some of their words if they're not in English?
Yes, I have been making some effort to learn the language there. It's called Kinyarwanda. I'm now supposed to have 100 words in my vocabulary. Last spring, I spent 6 months with a tutor in the valley here who grew up in Rwanda. So I can hear the way the words are supposed to sound. Their words are written down phonetically in the same alphabet that we use.
Oh,
so I can pronounce most of their words when I see them written. But I don't have too much of a mind for the vocabulary, for instance. Of those 100 words, I probably remember about 20 now. So I need to review that. I think the next stage in that, if I were to be serious about learning the language more, would be to live there for a while.
Sure.
Maybe a couple of years, live with a family who agreed to speak mostly Kinyarwanda. That's probably not going to happen.
No. But that's ambitious of you and... what good of you, I guess. It's probably not the best word. To attempt to learn another language.
Yes, it is interesting. I like the grammar and the... I worked as a computer programmer for 40 years. So the logic part of things comes naturally.
Oh, cool. So I don't think we've asked how many times you've been to Rwanda.
January was my fifth trip.
Okay. And always to the school?
Well, to Biyumba, yes.
Oh, and that's your purpose there, is to work
well,
with the teachers?
Well, my purpose has gradually evolved to that, yes. But as I say, our church is connected to the church there in a small village outside Biyumba ways. It's called Chigarama. So that's our initial connection. Was with the church in Chigarama and the pastor there. However, we would stay in Biyumba at the guest house. So that's where I made friends and even just meeting people on the street. That's where I had connections. I'll put in a little biography here,
sure.
If it's okay with you guys. So, as I say, I spent 40 years as a computer programmer working for many of the big companies in Boise. That was a good career. God blessed me with steady work and good finances. In 2017, I retired from Hewlett-Packard and computer programming. Now I spend my time teaching tutoring English for refugees and immigrants in Boise.
Great.
And there are lots. Yes.
Yes, Boise is a hub for refugees coming here. That's been rewarding. I had some training in that. I also took some training, a three-month course at Boise State for teaching English to speakers of other languages. Also at that time, I was trained as a spiritual director. So I worked through our church, sitting with another man to hear, to listen for God's direction for him. And often the Holy Spirit shows up, and usually both of us, sometimes just him, hear some direction, and it's those are rewarding experiences.
Yes.
And I can tell the Holy Spirit is leading us. And then this connection with Rwanda is also through our church, so that's the third aspect of my life at this point.
You've had an active retirement.
Yes, well, actually, I don't let my wife call it retirement. It's my new vocation. If she hasn't told you that at Bible study yet, Becky, I hope she does.
I will pay attention.
So let's see, Becky, you had a question about my time, where I was spending my time, something like that.
Well, what we were doing in Rwanda specifically.
So. Yeah, and that's part of what I wanted to tell you about today is how God has gradually moved that connection to a place now where I have some good friends there, a close working relationship, a partnership with the man who is the head teacher. So 2017, I changed my vocations and had this training in teaching English, and the BSU training is called TESOL. That would, it qualifies a person to teach English overseas. So I wanted to go to Africa where we had a sister church.
Sure.
The bishop in Biyumba, his name is Emmanuel. Bishop Emmanuel was here in Boise about that time. So I told him I was interested in teaching English in Rwanda. Where would you recommend I teach? And he said, well, my school, of course. So then in 2019, Wanda and I went there for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And I was really more of a teacher's aide for the upper classes, P4, 5, and 6. I helped the English teacher. I talked him into letting me have some classes, one or two a week. Got a good relationship with the children. The English teacher was not quite sure what to do with me part of the time. I didn't stick to the textbook close enough.
So. Oh, kind of the American way.
Well, it turns out the American school system is respected throughout the world. As you know, college students come here to go to school.
Yeah.
And the kind of training in creativity and critical thinking that happens here. Like Steve, I see some advantages in the memorizing approach that they take in the schools in Rwanda. But there's a big value also in teaching how to think.
Well, good. So you're helping raise up the next generation of Rwandans. That brings me to another question, and that's about the Rwandan Civil War and how horrible that was. Was that like 20 years ago?
1994.
Okay, yeah.
Genocide.
That's 30 years ago, right?
It was a very, very destructive time, and they're still working on reconciliation for that.
I was curious what kind of healing they've had.
I don't see much of it on the surface when I'm there now, as far as animosity or bad feelings, or I understand they are still working on reconciliation. The church has been a big part of that. Bishop Emmanuel has been called on by the government to help in that.
It's an honor.
I would like to point out that as horrible as the genocide was, and as much as we hear about it, it's not that unusual in Africa, this animosity between the tribes. They're still fighting in Congo, much of it near the border of Rwanda. So the Rwandan government has some work to keep that contained outside their borders as far as rebels coming back into Rwanda from Congo.
What changes have you seen since your first trip to Rwanda?
This last summer in 2023, our pastor planned a trip with a team from church. So Wanda and I went on that trip. Somewhere I worked up the courage to, in messages with the headmaster before that trip, to ask him if I could be of assistance at the school, maybe on refresher training in English for the teachers. And some of that came out of the tutor here in Idaho, who is, he's the assistant pastor at the Anglican Church in Nampa. And one of the things he said to our team was, speak the message that God has given you. And he was also encouraging me to ask the leaders there how you could help. Because when I sent that message to Arsene, the head teacher, and it said, how could I help? Maybe some refresher training for the teachers. I was nervous about pressing the send button because I thought, whoa, this does not feel like me. It feels too aggressive, or putting myself too forward, or risking myself. And then I thought, this is really Timothy, the tutor, the assistant pastor in Napa. I'm going to blame this on him. But Arsene came back fairly quickly about, yes, let's do teacher training.
Cool.
My sister Wendy was going to be part of that trip. She's a retired principal of an elementary school. So I thought, well, maybe the two of us together could come up with something to train teachers for, say, a couple days, a couple hours in the morning for a couple days. So when we asked Arsene how much training, he said, all day for 5 days.
Oh, my.
9 o'clock, 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So Wendy and I worked pretty hard at putting together a schedule, which we used part of. And Arsene was good at coming up with things at the last minute. So that training in September was successful. The teachers really liked it. We did computers in the afternoon, how to use Microsoft Word and Excel. I touched a little on Google Drive, Google Docs, and Google Sheets. They really liked the aspect of Google where it could save their files in the cloud so they would be safe if their computer died or their phone got lost. And they liked sharing documents using that same technique. Also at that time, Bishop Emmanuel asked me if I would come back twice a year to do teacher training. I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking through him when he said that, and I wanted to do that. It was something I was very interested and excited about. So then when I asked Arsene, when should I come back again, he said January, which was a bit of a surprise since there's not too much time between September and January. So this training we did in January, they wanted to cover many of the same topics as far as computers. The government is pushing computers for all the schools. That's a subject the teachers at King Solomon are very interested in getting better at. Not all of them had computers, but Arsene's providing computers for each of them. God also worked it out where two of their teachers there did most of the training in January. So I was in the background and I could answer computer questions and things, which was my desire. Of course it makes sense that they would own the training. They know what's good for their school. Their teachers are much more experienced at teaching than a computer programmer is. And they did maybe half the training in Kinyarwanda then. And I think the teachers understood it better. Because although we covered some of the same topics as we did in September, when it probably didn't sink in as well, I think it was understood better.
So it was good to go back so quickly.
Yeah, so that was part of the changes I've noticed, particularly between September and January, that we switched it from Americans doing the training to people in Rwanda doing the training. The other thing I've noticed change is this form of English they use, and this would be the Uganda Rwanda English, I think, often has an extra vowel sound at the end of a syllable. In their language, every syllable ends with a vowel. For instance, the word for woman is umugore. Umugore. So when they said English, they naturally add a vowel sound if there's not one there. For instance, good morning became gouda morning. And when I was there 5 years ago, I heard that a lot. Gouda morning, how are you today? This time I was hearing pretty clearly good morning. So I think the English is improving, yes.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's so wise to teach them to teach so they're not dependent on Americans or foreigners.
What kind of communication do you have in Rwanda? Like, how easy or difficult was it to communicate with Wanda?
When she was here and you were there.
Right,
right.
So from here, I use that application called WhatsApp. It goes through quickly. Most of the people in Rwanda use it, so we can text on that. When I was in Rwanda in January, I would call Wanda every evening, again on WhatsApp, using audio. The guest house and the church in Byumba have a good connection to the internet. They tell me it's actually fiber, which from a computer programmer standpoint, that's the best you can get at this point anywhere in the world. So Wanda and I had a good connection. When I try to call by voice some of my friends or most of my friends in Rwanda, it's not a good connection. So maybe they're going through the airwaves rather than having a fiber connection. It's often difficult to talk on the phone with most people in Rwanda.
How about the key person, the head of the school? Do you have good communication?
I was not able to talk to him on the phone. His phone never responded to the phone call. I felt like he was not making a big enough effort to make this work. It was not on his priorities. And as you've noticed, it was a priority for me to work, to learn their style of working and not to insist that we do it some particular way that I had in mind.
So, how about email?
Not so much. I mean, it works there. Most of my friends seem comfortable with WhatsApp, but they may not get on email very often. Hmm. I'm not sure of the technical reasons for that.
Yeah.
Huh. Are they a society that has their own clock? And they're not really on time to things as we Westerners think?
Well, there is a Rwandan time, yes. Which I think the default is when the event is supposed to start, then you start getting ready at your house.
Yes.
And then you get there sometime. Several of my friends are very punctual. Church services always, the music and things start at the announced time. The Kinyarwanda service I've been going to in Byumba might last 2 or 3 hours. So there's no real rush at 10 o'clock to immediately get into a liturgy or something. There's maybe half an hour of singing.
How about the school? Do they, you know, if they say they're supposed to start at 8 o'clock, are the kids supposed to be there at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, in fact, I think the kids come at 7:30 and do work in their rooms before school starts. And then they have an assembly at about 8:15. So the teachers are very cognizant of what time it is.
Do you have anything you think we should ask or anything you want to add?
I do.
That's good.
I'd like to add a little bit more about my relationship with Arsene and how that has developed as a partnership. And we were talking earlier about the shift in January to a couple of his teachers doing the training, which had been something I kind of wanted anyway, but I wanted to go gently because I didn't know exactly if he was jealous of his authority, if I started talking directly to these teachers myself, what that would involve. It turns out he's not jealous. but that did work out naturally, and to gradually develop a trust with him where we both trusted each other, that has been very satisfying for me.
Are the churches huge, or are there just a lot of churches?
There are several hundred, 400 or 500 people at a worship service at the church in Biyumba. So that's the big church associated with the bishop. The smaller church in Chigarama, it's not really a village there. There's a church and a school on the top of the hill. And then there's farmhouses scattered down the hill. And it's far enough to walk. They have their main service there at that main church once a month when everybody comes from the outlying little churches. So there's room for several hundred in that church building. And then these little churches, maybe 100 or 200, where they will meet weekly, and that it's a reasonable walking distance for everybody who wants to come, including the grandmothers. The other thing I would like to talk to you about is why does our church still have a relationship with Rwanda? It's been 20 years. Many of the Anglican churches in America have not pursued a relationship as much as Boise and Nampa have, and some other churches under our bishop. Bishop Ken Ross in Denver is very engaged. He's been to Rwanda every year since 20 years ago. Mm. But when I asked Bishop Ken, why are we still involved with Rwanda? He says two things. One, we owe them. They helped us get started. Number two, we can learn from each other. So if you ask me what we're learning from our relationship with the church in Rwanda, it's hard for me to put it into concrete terms, because some of it I want to be immersed in their culture and start thinking a little bit like them. But I can give you a few pictures, and one of them is the worship at their church and how exuberant and joyful that is. Dancing and lots of loud singing, and maybe you've seen an African group perform, choir, but they're not standing still. They're moving. Also, for instance, the children at the school, they are enthusiastic learners. Yeah, it's kind of memorizing, but it's very participative. And the teachers have physical activities as they go through the class. And the students are waving their hands and standing up to respond to questions. Pastor Ben Fisher at the Anglican Church in Nampa, he likes to say that the ground in Rwanda is very fertile for the seed of God when it is planted. There's an abundant harvest there. And you may have heard about how quickly the church in Africa is growing. Millions of people are being added to the church and the Christian roles there.
Wonderful.
In fact, if you count what's called the Global South, Africa, Asia, and South America, so that's called Global South, there are now more Christians there than there is in the rest of the world, which would be Europe and North America. And I'm glad to be participate or to be able to be there on the ground and sense the Lord's hand at work there. And what does it really mean, and how does it compare to our culture? Now, granted, the economy is, they're a poor economy. Many of the young people I talk to complain that there's no jobs, and yet there's this sense of hope and something worthwhile ahead. You'll have to admit that in the United States, there's a prevailing atmosphere that is pessimistic and cynical.
Oh, yeah.
And being in Rwanda increases my general hope for the future.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, really, the South is the beginning of Christianity.
It started in Africa in the Mideast, huh?
Yeah, and then it came north, and I think kind of waned in the South.
Yes.
And now we're waning in the north.
You see a pattern there.
But it's just fascinating, and that they can send missionaries to us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Renew our enthusiasm.
Yes.
For the gospel. And one day it'll be a whole world enthusiasm.
one day.
So if someone wanted to do what you've been doing, would they need to go to your church? Or what are the avenues for somebody to go to Rwanda, specifically to that school, to help out? You know, we originally asked if you went with an organization, so it sounds like it's through...
Through the church. That's correct. Rwanda does need more English teachers, so TESOL training at Boise State and pursuing an English teaching position through that route is an option. I do want to take more people with me again from our church to Biyumba, so we're going to be working on that this summer, figuring out what that might look like, how, if we can dialogue. So we need to understand better why we are still involved with Rwanda and what it means for us as a church in Boise.
Sure.
And what we can learn from this relationship. It's not intuitively obvious. I mean, at first you think, oh, we'll help them. We'll send money or we'll go and teach them how to speak proper English.
Mm-hmm.
And although it's okay to start that way, it's good. I'm glad I was in a situation where I could listen and work together in a relationship to find out how we could mutually benefit each other.
Yeah.
There's feeling in Rwanda that America is the good place to be. Many of the young men that I talk to want to come here. I hope I'll buy them an airplane ticket or figure out how they can get here. So there's this sense that America is a good place and Americans coming there will bring good stuff. There's an easy avenue for a welcome in that respect. Yes, the Nampa Church and the Boise Church have an ongoing relationship with the diocese in Biyumba. I think it would benefit both us and them as we are more engaged and continue to have... we go there, some of their leaders come here. Bishop Emmanuel was here again a couple of weeks ago.
If people want you to buy tickets, plane tickets, that kind of thing, do they take advantage of you? Do they use you? Or try to get here?
Well, like I say, they often ask. For some reason, God's given me the ability where I'm not used in those kind of situations. Mm-hmm. My personality is pretty easygoing, so other situations maybe. Partly, Wanda and I have a rule not to give money to individuals in Rwanda, because some of the street children will come up and say, give me money. We give to the church there and to some charity organizations. And I have several long-term friends with young men. I can't do this with all of them that want to talk to me. And then we've had to work through that if they wanted money from me. And I think it would have hurt our long-term relationship if I had given money. I can think of one young man who was probably thinking money, putting that too high on his estimation of what would be good for him.
Anything else on your list for us?
I've used up my list.
Well, we haven't used up ours, but it's about time for us to pull this to a conclusion. We mentioned similar opportunities teaching English overseas, and I thought of when we have friends who teach with ELI, English Language Institute. Mm. I guess we've had several friends that have gone with them. So there are organizations, options. So if somebody wanted to do that, what advice would you give them? Not just getting started, but just a spiritual, emotional, mental preparation.
My advice is a little limited because it's coming from a Christian perspective. And my motivation is to serve the Lord, to be sent from our church here. And as I'm going to Rwanda, it's very important to me personally to keep that in mind. So I'm less of a tourist in that respect, or a going and thinking as an American, I have everything together. And it's been helpful to me as I relate to people there to think of myself as part of the work of the church in Biyumba as well. That I can say I'm staying at the Anglican guest house, or I'm here to help at the school when they're curious about why I'm there. Your question was, Becky, what advice do I have for other people going?
Well, we can have pie in the sky aspirations, but what's the feet on the ground? What's it really like?
Yeah. Well, as Bishop Emmanuel said years ago when I asked him in a group setting on How do you picture relationships between our churches going ahead, from your church in Rwanda to our church here? And he said, we do not want your money. We want your friendship. So that has been the focal point of my going there, has been to develop some friendships and to be relating on a personal level that we can understand each other better and communicate across cultures. I think that's a good motive for going.
Cool. Well, Bill, thanks so much for coming. It's been great talking with you. And that's going to do it for us.
Yes, thank you, Bill, and thanks to our listeners for joining us. Remember, you too have a story. Be sure to live it to the fullest.
Thank you for listening to Let Me Tell You a Story. Please email your comments, suggestions, and submissions to story@beckylyles.com. That's all for now. Tune in next time to enjoy a fresh assortment of stories on Let Me Tell You a Story.